Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, no, it does. I've already called in. I know, I've already called in. Oh. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am your host with the most. I am the icon, the leader of the F4L, Sean Jazz Stevens. We got a very special show for you guys today. As mentioned and as promised, we have a future Mr. Olympia coming in tonight around 8 o'clock or so. In the meantime, you will get to hear my pearls of wisdom on all kinds of various subjects and topics. Before we get ready for, which is actually very exciting, we have another member of our Dream Masters roster coming on to join us. Actually, I think he's the first one, one of the first people I actually reached out to when I had the idea to do this way back when, along with some others who I hope to join here someday. In the meantime, you know, JoJo is going to be joining us shortly. Like I said, about 8 o'clock, he'll be out. What did it say? About a half hour or so. And why not? We can talk to him about the fitness world and his rise in the junior bodybuilding world and how he's going to rise to become the new future Mr. Olympia and whatnot. And then also, we're going to have some other fun and games as well, as we have quite a show, like I said. First, wanted to give a quick shout-out to the Hagen boys, Dave and Doug Hagen. They're going to get David and Doug Hagen. All of them we will get to see in August for the Monster Mania convention down in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Yes, I and the whole family will be there, live in attendance. So we look forward to seeing all of our Monster Mania fans, as well as our fellow Monster Maniac extended family, I guess you'd say. I'm very much looking forward to that, among other things. So hope you guys are doing great. Also, I want to give another thank you to our special guest yesterday, Michael Fishman, actor and kind of a jack of all trades, Michael Fishman. He kind of does a little bit of everything, as we heard from the our podcast yesterday, and as we've come to know. Michael Fishman gets along and does quite a few things, not just one. And I get that. I'm very ambitious myself, which is why it's also important for me to see fellow people like, you know, Michael Fishman and even JoJo. Even at his age, he's already, you know, making his way through life, and he's already making his, you know, mark on the world, so to speak, at a young age. And that's awesome. He already knows what his visions are, and he's going to get there, I believe, as long as he keeps it up. And he will. I think he has the drive to do so. And that goes to show for anyone. I think anyone is capable of achieving anything as long as they're willing to put the work in to get it. This is something that a lot of people get. I have seen myself people who get a lot of hate for people who go out there and actually do the best to achieve their goals. Back in the day when I was going to become a wrestler, I got a lot of hate from people. Talking about, you know, how fake wrestling is, but yet little did they know I actually had a combat background before I even started wrestling. So actually, I actually have quite a bit of physical aspects and quite a bit of actual fighting ability within me. I just choose to, you know, do the pro wrestling thing because that was my childhood dream, which I did. And then, of course, I went into filmmaking, and that's also a great thing. Just a little quick little thing. I don't want to give away too much right now, but I am currently in the process of working on a live stage play. I have not written a musical or a live show like this before. So this is my first time trying this. I've written some screenplays before, of course, and TV pilots and different things like that. But this is going to be my first time taking a crack at a live stage production. And that I'm very excited about. I am still also presently working on some film projects, like I said, and I'm really anxious to get those things going. Looks like I'm going to be probably gearing towards September, October to start a lot of that stuff. And I'm looking forward to that. looking forward to getting down to the nitty-gritty now that things are becoming a little bit more normal, I guess, in parentheses, because you can't see my parentheses. And I think it all starts with taking one thing at a time. You know, we go in spurts and so forth. People are fast to complain about the things that have, you know, impacted their lives even recently. I always look at the silver lining of everything. I guess that's just how I am, kind of a glass empty, cuss full kind of a thing. It's easy to feel kind of drear and feel kind of depressed or upset about everything. But in the long run, when you step back, I myself was someone who was so busy doing all of my other things, all my other duties, being a dad and working hard, you know, going to and from, you know, the days at office and so forth. If it wasn't for this time to be working at home and having time to go on to, you know, Instagram and these various other social media platforms, I wouldn't have found a lot of these amazing humans who I've actually been able to take and promote on the YouTube show for Icons. And I'm very excited about something new we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing a new type of show. It's called Us Versus Them. It's a small little thing. It's not something serious or anything too serious, but basically what it is, a lot of the times people don't get to see the behind the scenes kind of stuff where I will, you know, have our superstars on our YouTube show face, you know, people who are reputable wrestlers who are in the WWE or various other things. A lot of the times the general audience doesn't get to see those because I do those to keep our superstars sharp. And again, we have, like our shows, we have no control over the outcomes, but I feel like the more practice these guys get, and I like to see kind of the point break of each person. I like to see, you know, how good our guys are and, or men and women, I should say, how, you know, brave and they are against these legends of wrestling or sports or whatever. Now, we still have the regular show, as you guys all know. We are still in the presence of still doing our tournaments, which we're doing for our anniversary. JoJo being one of the people who are one of the many people that I reached out to back in the day when I started this project, along with others, Mason and Carter Stritzel, the Stritzel Flight Club, Mike, Tristan, Robin of OK Thank You, Gabe and Austin of the Father Son Fist. These are all people who really kind of started the ball rolling, and then I would add more and more people over the course of a year, people who are amazing humans, who do amazing things, who I feel the world should know more of. And what I think is special is when we take a person like the young man from the United Kingdom, Riley Simmons or Leo the Bull Curtis, who are two individuals who maybe not the world knows just yet, but they should. Leo does a great job bringing in awareness to certain aspects, and Riley does a great job, you know, teaming up with us, joining the factor. I'm always willing to have more people on the side of the Bully Busters, as I've been a Bully Buster since day one. It's great to have someone speak out against it, and hopefully Riley and JoJo and Leo and all the guys on our roster know that we are always on, have their back, and that these are individuals. What's sad, we're going to talk to JoJo about it too to see how often it happens. And believe me, I'm sure it happens quite often than not, how often they get what I call the keyboard warriors, the trolls, the people who like to hate on the people who are succeeding in life by, you know, attacking their accomplishments, cheapening their accomplishments because they can't get off the couch and do what they're doing. People, the bullies of the world and people on our roster, it's always great to have this relationship with these amazing people, which is why I have the Icons of the F4L show going still on YouTube. And it's going to go on for a while. We're doing a tournament, like I said. We've already had quite a few people who have, you know, qualified to the next round. Gabe has gone on, and so has several others. Robin of OK Thank You has advanced. Mike has advanced. You know, Gabe of the Father Son Fist Bump, as I said. So it's starting to heat up. It's going to get some pretty good stuff in that tournament. And it's a solo tournament where the winner will get a championship opportunity for whatever they choose. And then they'll also have an arena built in their honor to really pay homage to all of their hard work and dedication. And, of course, that's for the men and the women. So we're going to have a winner for both the men, the Dream Masters, and the Women Warriors of Wrestling. Already advanced for the women is one of our newest competitors, and that's the Duchess Lana King, who is really, I think thus far, she is undefeated. She's done some big things and getting a big win over our last show as she beat the very first Women Warrior Wrestling champion since we started this model in Queen Lisa Jenkins. So good for her. Big win on that end, and she's only going to go further from there. And, of course, everyone else will also do the best and get to be where they are. We got some returning favorites for the tournament who haven't been on in a little while, but they are part of the tournament. We got the other half of the Dream Team. Ethan Smith is back participating in the tournament, as well as some others. Jack Gore has returned for the tournament, as has Andy Walken, who you might remember from the Super Heroics team we had. They took a hiatus since they had to be busy working the thing, but Andy's come back on the show and so forth. So it's pretty cool. We have a really great roster, and I can't wait to see who's going to win this tournament. You know, it's going to be quite interesting. I'm going to let people know that if I somehow advance, I'm probably going to decline the win and give it to the next rounder up, even though for the numbers, in order for the numbers to work, we had to include everyone on the roster. So Sean Jazz Stevens, as well as Shap Awesome, are involved in the tournament. I myself am going to decline the winnings and will go to the person who comes in, face me, and I'll just hand them that champion, the winning for that. Sometimes in life you can do that. You can just reward those when you know they deserve it. I've been around the block a few times. Quite frankly, I don't need any more titles. I've done enough. It's just about everyone else, not necessarily all about me. So I also think coming up the next couple weeks as we get down to Monster Mania, we're going to have some people come on and we'll chat about maybe some convention tips, some pointers for people. Maybe you've never been to a convention before. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe it's your first time in a long time. Maybe you have questions. Are the autographs free? How long were you late in line? Do you wear deodorant or not? you know, and various other questions we will go over within those segments over the next couple of weeks. We'll call it like convention 101, I guess, will be an added bonus. We'll probably talk about those things on Talking Tuesday, our regularly scheduled show at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is our regular time for Talking Tuesday. We are coming and doing a special show today as JoJo is going to be joining us. Remember, he's a young man who he's got to get his rest as he is, you know, busy trying to become the new Arnold, and I believe someday he can probably be better than Arnold, because anything can happen with the hard work and the dedication. And there are a lot of other people who I'm going to plan on having on here as well, and it's great to have so many people enthusiastic about stepping into the fitness center. I'm sorry, the FWL headquarters, the fitness center. They used to be my old wrestling talk show when I was in the ring, wrestling as Jazz Fitness. Silly me. And of course we hope to get some wrestlers up in here too, since, you know, wrestling is still part of my life. Of course I'm not watching current wrestling right now. It's more enjoyable for me to watch my guys wrestle these legends, supposed, or these current modern day wrestlers. I quite frankly get amusement out of watching the guys who we have on our roster take it to these big names. This new show is going to be amazing, and it's made for to be a kind of also a educational point. This is not a shot at the wrestlers. This is to raise awareness. Some of the great and the toughest wrestlers alive will be taking place in this Us Versus Them show. And, you know, again, like anything else, we're not going to have any control over the outcomes. I'm not going to modify anything. And whoever wins, wins. And today we had a trial run, which I did not air. But I got to tell you, I think we had, I had a series of matches. I did about seven, which ranged from singles matches, tag team matches, six-man matches, and a team warfare match. And of all of those, only one team, one tag team was able to defeat our guys. And that, of course, was the legendary British Bulldogs, Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kids. Hall of Famer, by the way, British Bulldog. And congratulations to them. They were tremendous talents. Davey Boy Smith, known to be a kind of a jokester in the locker room. I actually got to work with his son a few times, Harry, and met his wife, Diana, and the whole family, and they're just tremendous people. And actually, I got a standing invitation to the Hart House, actually, from Diana. Someday, maybe I'll cash that in. But the Hart family is a legendary family. And I am sure the guys who we put them against are humbled. Not humbled, but they take it as a sense of pride that they went toe-to-toe with a very formidable tag team. So should be interesting stuff there. Just before we get into this, I wanted to chat a little bit about, you know, what I do for fitness, how I worked out. So I was younger. I actually did things the old-fashioned, well, not the old, yeah, the old-fashioned way. I was also big into always being motivated. I was a small, scrawny kid growing up, but I also had a ball of energy. I was taking martial arts, various different martial arts since I was four, competing in what they called freestyle tournaments since I was about 4 or 5 years old, winning a lot of those. Actually, almost every one of them except for maybe one tie I think I have. I have to look at my record again. It's been a little while. But I started out there, and that helped me stay in my shape. Plus, when I was younger, I was also a very picky eater. I didn't eat anything that looked odd. I didn't eat anything with sauce. I was kind of one of those people who always loved all fruits and vegetables. I always had a very fondness for those. A lot of kids don't like vegetables at all. I was someone who's always enjoyed vegetables of any kind. Everything from the kid-hated lima bean on the opposite spectrum, carrots, broccoli. I didn't mind having a garden salad. I was that into that. One of my favorite vegetables is the cucumber. I love cucumbers. And various other ones I really enjoy. And then I don't think I've ever met a fruit I didn't like during the summertime, of course. Nothing like having a nice fresh cut piece of watermelon. Times right there. Some grapes, plums are probably one of my favorites, and things of that nature. I've been a fan of oranges and orange juice. That's probably why I never get sick now. that's an ongoing joke in my family that get sick of the amount of oranges I've eaten in my life. So I don't know so much about the old wives' tale about carrots being good for your eyes. As I have loved carrots and I love eating carrots, I can even eat raw carrots. However, my eyesight is very poor, unfortunately. I'm nearsighted, sadly. But that's what it is. We're not going to always be perfect. I have actually, since, you know, all of that, and when I was also growing up, I wanted to be in shape. So when I was 12 or so, that's kind of when I realized, I was always watching wrestling. I knew a lot of people were in shape. And I wanted to kind of get into the weightlifting thing. My doctor told me I should probably wait till I was about 12 and put on a little bit more weight. And then when I put on a little bit more weight, then I should, you know, start off light and start with low weight and more reps. and also go slow with each rep. And then from there, I became what they call a gym rat. A gym rat is actually a term of endearment, believe it or not. A gym rat, even though that's also somewhat of a wrestling term too, is someone who is always in the gym, someone who pounds the weights, someone who will work out in the gym all day, all night. They'll work out at a gym until they get sick, throw up, go back and do it all over again. That's kind of what we do as a gym rat. And let me tell you, I put a lot of time in the gym from 12, 13. 12 was when I asked my doctor. He said, wait till you're about 13. I started a little bit before I was 13. I started benching and curling because I was interested in my upper body. I already had a pretty good, strong lower body as I was, you know, like I said, I was doing combat sports. A lot of my power came from my legs and whatnot. And I was also pretty decent at swimming as well. But I wouldn't join the swim team until freshman year of high school. And my legs became, swimming, between the swimming, the wrestling, and the soccer, my legs became almost solid muscle. And then, you know, my endurance, even to this day, is more than a lot of other people can. And that's kind of one of the things about me that makes me drive, that drives me to do a lot of the things. I have a really, really good reserve and a really decent grasp on my endurance. And a lot of people ask me, well, how do you work on your endurance? I find little ways. Still to this day, if I'm out and about, let's say I'm walking somewhere, I will sing while I'm walking. It's a power walk, and I sing while I do so. If I'm jogging, I do the same. Why do I do that? How does that work in my endurance? You see, in order to sing well, you need to use your diaphragm. You need to be able to, sing. In order to sing well, you need to be able to use your diaphragm and whatnot and be able to breathe properly. But if you're jogging or walking, you know, fast or whatever, you need to kind of regulate your speed and how you're walking so that you don't blow yourself out, right? So what I do is I sing, or I'll cut a promo as I'm walking or running or whatever. So that way there, I'm constantly doing something verbally, but without getting, you know, gaspy or respy or whatever else. I'm not gasping for air. I'm not sucking in air. And my endurance would grow that way quite a bit. And then as I got older and in high school, I was always carrying on almost everything I needed for the day because I hate wasting time. So if I had multiple things to do, I brought everything with me. So my backpack for school was consisted of not only my books, but, you know, if I was playing sports, I had my sports equipment for whatever I was playing that day. And then it also had pens and paper and whatever, because I'm a writer. Even back then, I was writing and working on stuff. And then, you know, every day whenever I go out, I mean, I carry things with me always. This is kind of the same thing when someone wears weights around their neck or weights on their ankles to kind of give them that weight. Well, I do that naturally by carrying around my stuff all day. And long distances, I walk. See, here's the thing I feel about walking. A lot of people wonder, like, how far can you walk? How long can you walk for? How far away is something? Never ask me that. My wife will tell you, for me, down the street, down the street is down the street. But for other people, down the street could be a mile away. And my wife and my kids can probably tell you that when I say something, you know, in walking distance, it's kind of an understatement because to me, three towns away is a walking distance. And the way you do it is you just go. I think that's the biggest thing. I think in order to get to the gym, to get to the or anything you want to do in life, the only way to really to get to where you need to be is just to, you know what, just get dressed, get ready, and go. The more you think about it, the more you're going to hesitate, and the more they hesitate, the less you're going to be, most likely going to be to performing whatever it is you want to do. Best thing to do is just jump in and get in to whatever you're going to do, whether it be walking out the door or going for a run, going for a walk, whatever you're going to do, it's always best just to jump in and go, because otherwise you're just going to delay and whatnot. I'm sure JoJo can tell us more about how he preps and stuff like that and how he gets motivated and stuff. But also, I'm up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning, normally on average. And I also, I don't sleep well at night, but I do find that, unfortunately, that's due to the fact that I have insomnia. I do know also how my body needs and how much sleep my body needs. And I have utilized that to my advantage because I know my body. And I also know different things about me. Like I know I need how much sleep I need, and I know what I don't need. Sometimes, you know, we all get that way. You're laying in bed, the alarm clock goes off, then you're like, oh, do I want to get up or not? And the decision to get out of the bed to do whatever it is you got to do for the day, it really speaks to who you are as a person. Are you someone who dilly-dallies? Are you someone who wants to get something done in life? Or are you just wanting to just go with the flow? I'm someone who has always gone after everything I wanted to do. And I don't just, you know, I found in life you just can't talk about it. You got to be more about doing it. I'm reminded of a promo I did back in the day under old ECW. A guy was actually, was it ECW? Might have been New England in ECW, one of those companies. I was working a promo a bit with a guy, and the guy was talking about he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And I said, listen, I'm not here to talk about it. I'm here to do it. So let's get it done. And, you know, that's kind of how the character Jazz Vengeance was, kind of the Pied Piper of the people. Less talk, more action, so to speak, kind of how I am in real life. I'm a quick actor. I say quick actions, and I know how to adapt pretty fast because that's how life is. You know, everyone has ups and downs. Everyone has, various different, points that they need to do and different things like that. And I personally, I found that just kind of doing it rather than talking about it has always been my kind of go-to. So it's always good. So waiting for JoJo. I know we're going to have a few minutes with him or so, and we're going to ask him some opinions on stuff. We're going to do some TV review a little bit too and talk about some stuff. Actually, I think JoJo is a fan of one of the shows I want to talk about, which is, of course, Cobra Kai. I don't know anybody right now who's actually, that's not true. I know some people who are not fans of Cobra Kai. It's just, I personally am one of those people that at first I was very much against it before I actually watched it. I was very opposed to the whole idea because I based it on what other people were saying about what it was going to be. But when it became available and I watched it, well, needless to say, two seasons full of me binge watching it in a day, I was hooked to, Cobra Kai. So that's how that works. And they turned me into a believer, that's for sure. And I give them credit for that. So a matter of time now, time's now 7:58. So I believe JoJo will be calling in very shortly, hopefully. And speaking of which, hello, this is the Icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. This is the FRL headquarters. How may I help you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Jonah for the interview.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Can you hear me good?
Yeah.
Excellent. We can hear you as well. So, my friend, how is everything going? What have you done so far today?
Good. Got my workouts and stuff.
Cool, cool. You know, I was just talking to people about, the fact that, sometimes you just have to kind of go instead of just thinking about it. What is your take on that?
What did you say?
Well, in a sense, what time do you, like, for example, when you get up in the morning, what time do you get up normally?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock in the morning. Is it pretty much, you know, go, go, go all day, or is it kind of like touch and go? How do you usually go about your day?
I have everything, most things, like, all day. I don't have many breaks.
I gotcha. So that's kind of like what we were saying is, you know, because the only way you're going to get places in life by just doing it, right?
Yeah.
So now I know a couple weeks ago you had a huge win, right, over the weekend a couple weeks ago?
Eastern Pro-AM, I think is the name of it.
Yeah, you want to tell people about, like, what it was like to do all that stuff? And it's kind of cool, man, you know? That's you got to be proud of yourself, right?
Yeah, it was fun, and met a bunch of people. Every time I compete, I meet a lot of new people. And that's the main part of it, meeting new people, because there wasn't too many competitors there, like, competing against me. So, my routine was like fun to do, and I just had a lot of fun there.
That's awesome. It's important. And then, what was the end result of you having fun and showing up like that?
Winning. And
like, what was the end result? There you go. That's good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff, man. You know, you got to be proud of yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So, So, you know, I know that you're one of the many people out there who like to get into this field. Now, what is about bodybuilding you want to get into? What's important about it for you?
I want to win Classic Physique Mr. Olympia 5 times. Why?
Okay. Sweet. Now, did you have? Yeah, you love it. Yeah, I get that. You know, you got to do what you love. And so, what are the kind of the obstacles you need to overcome to get to that point, right? Because not everyone can just walk out there on stage and just, you know, show their arm and be impressed, right?
Yeah.
Well,
you gotta have your diet on point. You should probably get a coach unless you're very experienced with it. So I got a coach because last time I didn't know too much, so I don't want to, like, you know, mess up, because I probably went too low on calories last time I said, because I didn't know about it that much. But you should have a good coach. And when you're doing that, you do this in the off season too, but you got to be on point with your workouts. There's no missing a workout, because you can't do that, because you miss a workout and then next Monday you miss the other one, and it becomes a habit. Mm. But you just have to keep it going.
Exactly.
And so consistency is what it comes down to, and most people can only stay on the diet and work out like this for a week, but you have to be able to do it for, like, 20 years if you want to build a really good physique.
Right, and that's your goal, right? You want to be, like, what, the next Arnold Schwarzenegger or better than Arnold?
Better than Arnold, easily.
There you go. That's what I want to hear. There you go. You know, and you're doing good things. We've all been watching you, and it's very impressive. You know, it's good to have that mindset. Now, you have a pretty good family support, too, correct?
Yeah. Actually, my dad's right over here.
Awesome.
Hey, Sean,
tell your dad happy Father's Day for me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You guys are awesome.
To you as
awesome
well.
To see.
You have a daughter, is that right? You have, how many kids do you
I
have?
I have a son and a daughter.
Okay.
I have a son and a daughter, and I also encourage them to do exactly whatever they want to do in life as well, and I think it's awesome when parents are so involved in supporting their kids. I think that's and you guys earned a round of applause in my world. I think it's great that, these young people have people like yourselves to back them up. That's amazing. In all honesty, it's sad to say I've worked in various different fields and whatnot, and I've seen, sadly, a lot of kids who don't have that kind of support system. And I think it's awesome to see this kind of involvement, and you guys should be proud of yourselves as well.
Well, I appreciate that, and, you know, we have three kids, including Jonah. He's our youngest, and, you know, if there's one thing that we've learned, my wife and I, along the way, is, you know, you can't put your kids into a box. You know, every person is different. They have their own passions. They have their own talents. Jonah is an incredibly unique and driven individual, and it's just a lot of fun to kind of be along for his ride and his journey, because he is probably the most self-motivated person I've ever met in my life, and he's inspiring.
That's awesome. That must be pressure for everyone else in the house, though, right?
No, like I said, you know, we all have our own things, our own unique gifts. You know, my other two kids are wonderful, and they have their passions. You know,
sure.
My oldest brother is heading off to college to pursue studying art and design. So, you know, completely different. They're completely different, but they all get along great. And, you know, we're just here to support them, like you said.
Right. And that's awesome. It's always good to have that whole family dynamic, too, because that's kind of a rare thing, too. A lot of times there'll mm-hmm. be this sibling rivalry. You know what I mean? Everyone has kind of their own thing. And, you know, like my son and my daughter get along great, but they are very much different night and day. So,
absolutely.
You know how it goes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But keep up the great work. You guys are doing fantastic. And I'm really happy that, you know, he has a great support system. And his coach, I love his coach, too. I've been watching the, you know, the live pros. What a great coach you guys found for him, huh?
Yeah, shout out to Phil Ricardo. So, Joni, you want
natural Olympia winner.
You say that again?
Three-time natural Olympia winner.
Yeah, he's kind of a legend in the natural sports world. And Jonah had the opportunity to meet him face-to-face and actually watched him win out in Vegas 2 years ago at the Natural Olympia. And so they really struck up a rapport, and Phil's done a wonderful job supporting Jonah and just giving him that little extra guidance that he needed to, as Jonah said, get his diet on point and get the daily workouts in and
on point.
It's been motivating for Jonah, I think.
Absolutely. And that's great. That's great that they get. Now, how much traveling is involved with something like this? How far do you guys usually travel for these kinds of things?
Well, the difference with, like, bodybuilding and, like, other sports is you don't, compete as much as, like, if you're on a travel team, say, like, I don't know, football or whatever, you would be traveling, like, every week. But with
mm-hmm.
bodybuilding, it's every few months, or sometimes you would take a year to bulk
mm-hmm.
and then come down. But, we usually try to find shows that are near where we live within like 4 hours, so like
that makes sense.
On the INBA has like a lot of shows to do,
mm-hmm.
So that's good because we can find shows near us, because other places don't have that many shows to do.
Right Yeah, definitely.
And
I actually had a buddy.
Yep,
go ahead. What's that?
It's usually only like 4 hour drives. The only long time was when we went to Vegas. We had to go on a plane for like 6 hours, but
yeah, that's
that
a bit of a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. I had a friend, and I think I told you before, he lived here where I am, and he lived up in West Newbury, Mass, and he went all the way out to California to become a bodybuilder out there. And then he ended up coming back to wrestling school.
wow.
Now he's working in movies now. I don't know if you've heard of John Cena.
Yeah.
John Cena. He's a little guy, you know. He used to – actually, that was his first passion was bodybuilding, believe it or not wrestling.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, John Cena's quite a bit of a – that was his first passion was bodybuilding, and then he got into the wrestling thing.
Wow.
But, you know, to each their own. It's always like in the wrestling world, you'd be surprised how many guys have gone in. I don't know if you knew this, but I've been in the pro wrestling business for 21 years. 2019, I went into the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, from my involvement in pro wrestling. But John Cena is someone who I, you know, lived in the area up north where I am, and he went out to California, like I said, to be a builder, and he just decided, you know what, I think wrestling might be easier. So that goes to speak to the volumes of how hard it is to compare compete in bodybuilding, especially,
yeah.
You know, the stories he would tell, you know, like, you know, the confidence things you have to have, like a lot of people don't even understand that aspect. You know, it's coming from the wrestling world or the athletic world, you kind of get used to it after a while, but it can be nerve-wracking standing on a stage in front of, you know, complete strangers, depending on how people are there. You know, that can be nerve-wracking for a lot of people. How do you deal with
that? You cut out.
I'm sorry?
Oh, never mind. What did you say? Because you cut out for a second.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. I was asking for a lot of people, like John Cena, for example. He would talk about when he was trying to get used to the bodybuilding thing, was he found it some way he had to get over his kind of a – he was kind of self-conscious, so he had a hard time competing in front of a lot of people. And I was wondering how you cope with that.
I don't know. I just don't – I never really had a problem with that. I don't have a problem with doing it, like – if it's something I know I'm, like, good at, but if it's, like obviously, like, school plays and all that, like, we had to do and stuff like that, that you get nervous for because it's just, it's something you don't even care about, so you, like, you know you're not, so, but bodybuilding, it's just second nature, so, because I've done it a few times, so.
I get that, you know, and it's important to know, because I know that can be nerve-wracking, like I said, but. You know what? That goes to show you have more guts than John Cena did. How about that, huh? That's a joke. That was being funny. John knows I love him. He knows I'm kidding with him, but that's okay. But you're doing good things, man. And I'm really happy to see, you know, that you're doing well, great things. And I think you're going to be doing even better things. Just keep up the great work. You know, and stuff like that. I know you're on time constraints, so I don't want to keep you too long. Plus, you know, I mean, do you guys still have school where you are?
Yep, like probably a week.
Yeah, you guys have one more week. And I believe it is a school night. So, you know, I don't want to keep you too long. So, I know you probably have like, you know, 12 other things you got to do before you go to bed tonight. But you want to tell people, you know, how they can get a hold of you or anything you want to share with everyone, what they should be checking out. By the way, your sweatshirt that I have, I still wear that when I bowl and has brought us great luck in our bowling team. I just want to let you know that.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I think it's awesome that you have a V in your design, and that my, you know, my early wrestling name was Jazz Vengeance, and that's kind of the V that I used for the Vengeance. So I think that's cool. So I thank you guys for that. That shirt comes in well for bowling. So
my Instagram, if anyone doesn't know, it is Jojo the Bodybuilder, like no spaces or anything, or capitals here, just straight up Jojo the Bodybuilder. Same thing with my YouTube. I don't post necessarily super consistently on that, but I try to. And then my TikTok is, which I also don't post that much on, but it's Future Classic Mr. O, no spaces or anything. But, so that's where you guys can follow me and stuff. It's pretty much it. I don't have much other things on that people can follow me on.
Awesome. How can people get one of those awesome shirts that I got from you?
So in my Instagram bio, or you can just search up classicvapparel.com. The shirts look dope, so they're – right there, and you can buy them.
Yep.
And it's true, and they're comfortable, too.
He designed them all with a little bit of help from his mother, but, they're great shirts. They're very comfortable. They wear well, and highly recommended.
And they're also good to bowl in. I can tell you guys that. They're great at keeping your arms straight and everything else, so great stuff. So, you know, I want to thank you guys for joining us. It was a pleasure having you guys on. Again, I don't want to keep you guys too long. I know you guys have a lot to do, and I know that it's a late night. So I thank you guys for joining me here on the FRL headquarters. Did you guys have any questions or anything before you wanted to go?
No, but thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Always a pleasure. What's that?
Pleasure meeting you. Thanks for having Jonah on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Anytime. Just anytime you want to come on, just let me know, and you're always welcome in the FRL headquarters. Thanks, guys, for joining me, and you guys have a safe night, and keep up the great work, Jonah. I'm proud of you, kid. And, Dad, happy Father's Day.
To you, too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye, Sean.
All right. See you later, guys. Peace. All righty, then. So how cool was that, everybody? We got to hear from JoJo, the bodybuilder. You know, terrific young man, as you can hear. You know, what's also interesting, exactly what I said. I said, you know, he's probably like myself, just kind of get out and go. Don't think about it, just do it. And that's kind of what I was saying, right? So that's good stuff. And that is true, by the way. Good old John Cena. You know, works for my area. He did want to originally become a bodybuilder, but that didn't work out, so he went into wrestling. But let's face it, he really wanted to get into movies, which, as you can see, he's not The Rock necessarily, but that's okay. Good for John. Anywho, so hopefully everyone is doing well. It was always good to have, you know, these amazing people out there. Unfortunately, I didn't get to talk to him about being on our show. I know how much of his matches he's seen, but JoJo is a very accomplished wrestler on our YouTube show, as he is a two-time Dream Masters FRL Icon champion, as well as a one-time social media champion. So JoJo's racking up the titles in the wrestling world without even knowing he's wrestling, without even actually seeing a lot of it, probably. I do send all of these people their own matches when I'm done, just so they know what they're doing, because I think it's something to be proud of. And, you know, it's a cool thing. I've been at a lot of things during the time. Didn't get to talk to him about Cobra Kai, but that's okay. I'm going to talk about Cobra Kai. So Cobra Kai is, you know, Martin Cove, who is plays the mean old sensei Kreese in Cobra Kai. He's been posting all over the place about, you know, it coming back and all that stuff. And you know what? I can't wait till it does, because I'm telling you. And that, you know what? I've been taking a lesson from my mistake I made with Cobra Kai Season 3. See, what I did like a fool is I binge-watched Cobra Kai Season 3 in one day. And now I've already watched everything. So now in one day, I already went through the whole thing. So now I've got to wait a whole year before I can see what happens at this, you know, the All Valley tournament. I frankly hope this is going to get great. I really am impressed by the work of all of the people involved here. It's funny that not long ago I was at a trade show, and William Zabica, who plays Johnny, you all know Johnny, who I say Johnny. Yeah, he plays Johnny Lawrence in the show Cobra Kai, and did play the same person back in Karate Kid. I was saying to him how I kind of wanted to know what would happen after the fact, and what was it from William Zabuka's point of view. I always thought, you know, we always know, you know, Ralph Macchio's side of things on the show, right? We all know what Daniel LaRusso's take is. He's being bullied by all these people. But as I pointed out before, there have been times on the original Karate Kid during that original movie, yeah, LaRusso kind of instigated some of those things that would have happened if he didn't instigate the situation. For example, the incident in the shower, which led into the Miyagi beatdown when the kids are in the skeletons. That's one of the most famous like Karate Kid moments, when, you know, Mr. Miyagi comes to the quote rescue of the Karate Kid, when let's fix it, Johnny Lawrence and the rest of the Cobra Kai weren't even messing with Daniel LaRusso yet. And Daniel LaRusso took it upon himself to, you know, put a hose over the head of Johnny Lawrence and spray him with water as he was minding his own business and doing whatever it is he was. Doesn't matter what he was doing at the time, whether he agreed to it or not, but what the point was is Johnny Lawrence wasn't picking on Daniel LaRusso at that moment, and they didn't have any instigation with him at that time until Daniel LaRusso thought it was a good idea to spread water all over these guys for no apparent reason and no kind of instigation at that particular time, and that led them to being, you know, enraged and using what they've learned from their teacher, and, you know, no mercy for the weak. And that was when Mr. Miyagi would get involved, and we all know how that all turned out. But if you take a step back and you did it like I did, even back then, well, wait a minute here. Why did Daniel LaRusso, if he's afraid of these guys, poke the bear, so to speak? So that's something to be in mind. Anyway, I'm excited for Cobra Kai Season 4. I can't wait to see what happens. I can't wait to see what's going to happen at this tournament. Daniel LaRusso, Johnny Lawrence working under one realm to take on the mean Johnny John Kreese. And it looks like his old buddy there and his old nemesis, Daniel LaRusso, his old trainer, is going to be stepping back into the fray here as he's going to be helping out his old friend, John Kreese. Of course, he's the villain from Part 3, the teacher from Part 3. He's going to be joining the cast and causing havoc from his point of view. So here we go. So that should be interesting stuff. What I also find interesting is the fact that if you remember in Karate Kid Part 3, for whatever reason, his name is getting gnawed in my head right now. But the character I'm referring to is the guy who was buddies with John Kreese and decided to, you know, hoax Daniel LaRusso into training for a tournament that he was really just kind of breaking him down for and really trying to humiliate Daniel Lawrence rather than help Daniel LaRusso. So, what Daniel LaRusso here, yeah, folks, sorry about that. But, you know, what I am curious about to see is how, you know, he seemed to put a lot of money into that student and all these other things. And supposedly, you know, Cobra Kai went down with a blaze of glory. Well, why is this guy still rich if that's the case? So I guess we're going to have to wait and find out how he is going to fall into the fray of things on Cobra Kai. But I can't wait. That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this tournament. Everyone, kind of the battlefields are drawn. You know, it would be nice to see some type of peaceful resolution between Robbie and his dad, if it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but I hope it does. It's getting a little annoying. I'm not going to lie. At some point you're going to wake up, right? And, you know, everyone else for that matter, it's great to see a lot of this other stuff coming into play too and whatnot. So, and also, I can't really give you guys a review yet on Sweet Tooth. And the reason I can't is because as I said, I learned my lesson from Cobra Kai. Instead of, you know, binge watching the whole thing like I have a tendency to do with these things, I'm only watching one episode at a time. And what I can do is give you a little mini review right now. I can tell you right now, the music's fantastic. Special effects are great. The cast is great. I really like the dynamics. I like the storyline so far. So far, so good. I'm still in the beginning of things where I'm at. I'm sure everyone else is already done. Again, I'm taking my time. It's not like I get a great deal of time to sit and watch television all day and night. Unfortunately, I'm a busy man. But when I do get to watch it, the episodes are poignant and great. And I think I saw another YouTuber in the film, and I had asked the gentleman if he was in it, but I'm waiting to find out if he was or if he has a twin. Because I could have sworn I saw Chris Stuckman from who does movie reviews on YouTube. quite frankly, I'm a big fan of Chris Stuckman. I think he's a fantastic reviewer. And I guess he's also a fellow filmmaker, and I have a lot of respect for that, too. He had, like, a similar but different kind of an upbringing. He had sounds like he had a turbulent upbringing as far as the religious aspects. I just had a turbulent upbringing altogether. But it sounds like we both, in the end, won, so to speak. We got our freedom, and we get to be who we are and be proud of who we are. And Chris Stuckman on YouTube does some great film reviews, and we have the same film director as we are. You know, we share the same passion for the same filmmaker. I think we're both big fans of M. Night Shyamalan, and I know he gets a lot of grief in M. Night Shyamalan, and it's rare that I get to hear from someone else who also has his views. And I have to say, anything that usually, whatever Chris Stuckman says in his movie reviews, is usually things that I either said already or things that I'm already thinking or things that I agree with them on. I myself do film reviews, as you hear. I'm a little bit more blunt, I guess. I don't really do a rating system because, you know, in the end, I don't think a rating system works. Do you want to see it or not? Should you see it or not is the question. You know, go check out Chris Stuckman, a fantastic film reviewer on YouTube. Also, while we're talking about YouTube, check out OK Thank You. Mike, Trish, Robin, I think they're going to come back to the swing of things. And they're still around and still going into our United States Tag Team Champions final, whether or not. So Mike, Trish, and Robin of OK Thank You. Again, are individuals who are people who I added to our show for the same reason I added people like JoJo and all of these other amazing talents that I think the world needs more of them. I think they need more people out there to kind of show that we're all kind of creative and cool in our own way, you know, and the world needs to take notice. But Mike, thank you. Go check them out eventually. And also, Minty, our friend Minty Comedic Arts, he does the 10 things you didn't know, about Search and Search movies. He's our Australian friend and one of the toughest competitors we've ever had on the Dreamcasters. It goes on the show that we've had now. We've had Minty for a few years for the same reason, really. I think Minty might have been the first to kick off the idea that, hey, maybe we should bring more to these people. Go check him out on YouTube, as well as Mike, Tristan, Robin of OK Thank You. Again, check out JoJo the bodybuilder. Watch up, you know, he's going to take over the bodybuilding world because he's good. There's a lot of talented people in the world, and I also bring them in there, so, you know, show the talent to the rest of the world as well. Right? So. I took a drink of my water. Yes. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a quick review of the latest Conjuring film, The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. Sorry. Based on the actual court case of the same name, Devil Made Me Do It case, a very well-known court case featured around the paranormal investigating duo known as Ed Lorraine Warren, who joins who under oath had offered a plea of not guilty by way of being possessed by the devil. Yes, that was what it was. By the way, that didn't really work too well. He did, in fact, get found guilty, and he might have got off a little easier than he could have, but he still definitely did not get off with that plea, but they tried. Right. The movie itself, you know, similar to the other Conjurings, there's some of those moments of kind of, oh, what's going to happen? You know, I have to say, though, out of the three Conjuring films, this seems like the most tame one out of the three. The first one, there was a lot of unexpected kind of freak kind of things that would happen, you know, between Bathsheba Now, I guess the other movies might get spoiled, but I'm not going to try to spoil this one for people in case they haven't seen it yet. It's kind of new. But, you know, the first one, you know, you had those visuals of Bathsheba that would pop up out of nowhere, the iconic clapping hands for hide and clap, and just some other moments that kind of made you uneasy. I have to say there are more scenes in the first Conjuring film as well as the second one that really give you those kind of dreary feelings when you see them. I'm someone who doesn't really have a lot of fear of horror movies, as I've gone over before, probably because I'm kind of used to them all at this point. I see the humor usually in them, but The Conjuring is a real story. I guess that's kind of what it is, isn't it? What makes these films even more scary than all of these, you know, 13th or whatever, things that may or may not have happened, depending on who you talk to. I think that's what makes movies more scarier than any other horror movie, because you know that these things are based on supposed true stories. The first Conjuring film, you know, very freaky, a lot of jumpy things. You know, there's also some like quick scares that you don't really see coming. And I like that, but I agree that there's, you know, you can't really have too many jump scares in a movie before it gets kind of like, okay, we know a jump scare is coming. Just let's get it over with. I think the first Conjuring movie kind of made sure that you knew that that was going to happen, that scares could come at any point. You'd get relaxed and boom, there's something. The second one in the franchise, which was The Conjuring 2, based on the Idville haunting over in England. And that one there, yes, there was some really creepy parts of that as well. And depending on who you talk to, another one of those may or may not have been true, but you know what? They did a good job introducing the characters. There was also, if you noticed in the second one also, they actually had a little bit of a hint to the Amityville movie, Amityville Horror, as that was kind of how they introduced to things. And then they moved into this Amityville Ghost. And I think what's interesting is the fact that, did that mean we're not going to have the Amityville movie with this in The Conjuring? So in other words, we're definitely not going to probably have The Conjuring 4 Amityville Horror, is what I was implying, because we already had a glimpse of that in part 2. Or James Wan, I'm talking to you. That's a question. Anyway, and I know James Wan not direct this one. I do implore him to come back because I think he brings something to the elements, to the film's franchise. I know the gentleman took this movie, also did The Nun. You know, I got to say, I did find The Nun as scary, I guess to say, as The Conjuring series, the first two. Don't get me wrong, The Nun had its jump scares, but I'm not really one for the jump scares because I know they're coming at this point. And I'm prepared for it now. You know, that kind of takes it away when you're expecting them. So that's that. But, you know, a lot of people talk about the Annabelle movies and these other spinoffs. They're talking about a spinoff for the Crooked Man, who was a nursery rhyme featured in part 2 of the Conjuring series. All right, I'm going to be the odd man now and say, let's not do The Crooked Man. I'm going to tell you why. We already had The Curse of La Llorona. That, I have to be honest, that was probably the biggest letdown of the Conjuring series. I didn't mind some of the backstory. I would have liked to learn more about the backstory of the, you know, the La Llorona thing. My wife is Hispanic. And I kind of wanted to watch it to learn more of that kind of horror aspect. I didn't really get that in this film. I mean, I get the film. I just didn't get what I wanted out of the film, I guess you'd say. I didn't get to really learn much about the, you know, what is it about this, you know, the crying woman that makes her the crying woman? You know, why does she do these things? Why does she continue doing these things? And again, it was basically made a bunch of jump scares that you saw coming a mile away. And I didn't really enjoy that aspect of Curse of La Llorona. But, you know, this wickedly, this crooked man thing, the reason why I say let's not go through with this, I understand this may be on the docket, is because we've already had these supernatural creature things. Conjuring alone has already featured the Nun, Annabelle, and La Llorona. La Llorona came out of nowhere. It just somehow linked into it somehow. But you got the Nun and three Annabelle movies, right? So can we just not bring in the Crooked Man? Because on top of it being part of the Conjuring series, also, there's been several movies with these weird creature things between the Babadook and the Boogeyman and Tooth Fairy and Empty Man and Slender Man. And there's just, it's kind of a repeated pattern. I don't see anything special about this character that makes him different than any of these other ones we've already seen. I can't see how you could possibly make this film around this character when he's so mediocre in the storyline. Now, yes, it could be said, well, Annabelle was just a doll and only seen a couple of times. Yes, but Annabelle is a doll that you could do a lot with. Now, me personally, I'm going to have to say, when it comes to doll movies and little things like that, I have never been one to be afraid of a doll movie because of the fact that if a doll comes at me and it's ready to attack me, well, I'm going to boot that doll across the room because the doll is usually 3 feet tall and I'm 6 feet tall, 245 pounds, as the thing goes. Man, myth, and legend. Josh, yeah, Stevens. But anyway, but the doll is this little ibbity wooden thing, a porcelain thing. It weighs probably about 4 ounces and 4 feet tall, realistically. Even if it's possessed by something, you still are a human and it's still not going to change in size. I don't care how possessed it is. It's a doll. Chucky never scared me. I like the people. I have friends of mine who are in the films, but that doesn't mean that I'm afraid of Chucky. Puppet Master is the same thing. And to me, the Crooked Man is just kind of beating a dead horse, if that makes sense. It's just something we can't see anything different. It's something we've already done before. It's nothing new. It's nothing. It can't show us anything else we haven't seen already. There's already been these many different creature type films. And honestly, they go nowhere. There's no aspect and it doesn't fit anywhere. That's what my feeling is on The Crooked Man. So please do not make The Crooked Man a film. You're wasting your time. And I don't think it's going to be successful. I'm going to tell you that right now, because who knows what The Crooked Man is unless you've seen part two. And still, tell me what's different about the Crooked Man in any of these other creatures that we've seen already. I don't think you'll find one. And that's my rant on Crooked Man. Please don't make it. As far as pop culture goes and wrestling goes, whatever, what else can we do? You know, I set this up for 2 hours. Tonight, the other night I went early. Tonight I'm going to go to when I can. Because, well, you know what? I'm going to end it probably about 30 minutes early because I want to record some shows for you guys for our tournament that we're going to be doing. In fact, we got some pretty big matches set up for you guys, and I'm going to be recording those shortly while it's still early. So I am going to go early so I can work towards some of those shows for you guys. I want to let people know that, yes, they may be recorded before I put them out, but I want to let people know that I am not fixing anything. I'm not editing anything as far as the wins and the losses. What I do is take away all the fluffiness. I shorten out the entrance, shorten out the waiting time that tends to happen. And also I have found that it basically transfers better to have them already recorded than to do it live like I used to. Until we get this new software, which I hope comes out soon, we'll be fine then. Otherwise, no thanks. So, yeah, I am going to end early so I can record some of the show. But I want to say thank you again for our friend JoJo the Bodybuilder. Jonah, it was great to have you on. And it was a pleasure to hear from him and, you know, his dad. And it's great to see that these young people have these people in their corner to back them up. I wish I had that. And that's kind of why I do it for my kids now and whatnot. And, again, thank you to Michael Fishman for yesterday. And I look forward to bringing more of these fantastic humans from and the members of the FRL and to the FRL headquarters. And I am going to end it very shortly. In the meantime, should you guys want to find me, you could find me on YouTube. And by the way, at YouTube, I took over the thing. It's now my YouTube channel now has changed its official name, which I'm very excited about. And we have a new name for our YouTube channel for our shows. This is the channel that you guys all watch for our amazing thing. It's called Jazz and His Icons of the F4L. That is the new name and the new destination for our Dream Master show. We will see JoJo the Bodybuilder, the Duchess Lana King, and more on our show. So make sure you watch a lot of those. Get ready for that. And you can find that's, again, that's Jazz and his F4, his Icons of the F, the number 4, L, as in Larry, that is on YouTube. You can watch all of those exciting matches and then some. You can also find me on Instagram if you want to find me there, because I am on Instagram. And you can find me on Instagram at F4L, Sean, S-E-A-N, J-A-Z-Z-S-T-W. That is on Instagram. Again, that's the F4L Sean Jazz Stevens on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter at Sean, S-E-A-N, Jazz, J-A-Z-Z, Stevens, S-T-E-V-E-N-S, anytime. And you can find us there. And you can... You know, reach out if you want to hear from me. You want to be a guest on the show, by all means, drop me an email at wow, W-O-W, Dream Matches, D-R-E-A-M-M-A-T-C-H-E-S, at gmail.com. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I am the F4L leader of the icon, icon and leader of the F4L, Sean Jazz Stevens saying, I am about to close the doors to the F4L headquarters for tonight. Until next time, may all your dreams come true, everyone. And you just got jazzed by vengeance. Don't be afraid. Be epic.